Amen. They are a blessing, our instrumentalists. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 57. We'll read one verse in Isaiah chapter 57. I'll wait till you get there. Isaiah 57. And we will read verse 15, Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for all the truth, for the help, the strength, the comfort. And I pray today, Father, that you would open our hearts and we would rejoice that we could hear you speak to us. A lot of different needs here today, and you're able to meet every need, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We ask for your help now as we speak and as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Eternity, that's a long time. Actually, eternity is the absence of time. When we come to the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that time shall be no more. We are creatures of time. That is hard for us to imagine. But it does say that in the scriptures. Some things Peter said in one of his epistles, some things are hard to be understood. Paul said in one of his letters, he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and then he goes on and says some other things. But they are hard to understand. They are mysteries to us, but we believe them because the Bible is true, amen? And so we believe what God says. It takes faith to do that. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and God spoke everything into existence. And you say, how did he do that? I don't know, but I believe it because it's in the Bible. And so that's where our faith is. Paul was warning the believers at Colossae, and he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. He was saying, watch out, because there's a lot of teaching out there. And we'll see some things about that this morning. Eternity, that's a big word. Amen? Eternity. It's hard to comprehend that, whether it's time or space or whatever, but God says it's true. It's only mentioned one time. That word eternity is only mentioned one time in the whole Bible. It's interesting. But it's described in countless ways. And everlasting, immortal, eternal, and it's talking about eternity. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is speaking about the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. So we believe those truths. But in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Because something's coming ahead for us, the way of all flesh, and we want to know where we're going to be in all of eternity, in eternity. To not believe in eternity is to not believe in the true God, because the eternal God is our refuge, the Bible says. So he is eternity. He is eternal. I like that. Amen? And the more I read the Bible, the more I like it. And the more I live in this world, the more I like it. Amen? Eternity is the duration or continuance without beginning or end. Sometimes a church service seems like an eternity. Amen? And the mind can only receive what the seat can endure. So I know when it's time to stop. And especially today, if you smell any of that food, you know, I mean, it's going to be a hard thing for me to preach my usual 3 hours. Amen? Okay. Moving right along. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King. Now listen to this description of our God. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That just about covers everything. The Bible speaks of eternal life. That's without end of existence, everlasting life. That's lasting or enduring forever, eternal, existing, or continuing without end, immortal. That's eternal. That's everlasting. That is eternity. How do we know this? How do we know it's true? Because we have God's word on it. We have the Bible. Things are changing in our world. There was something we read about, my wife and I read about this morning in a devotional. And back in the day, over in England, somebody sent out a survey of 100 very important men and asked them a question. If you are going to prison and you could only take 3 books with you, what 3 books would you take? 98 out of 100 chose the Bible as the first book. Amen? And so the Bible is our roadmap. It's our guide. It's our comfort. The comfort of the scriptures. All of the verses that have to do with that. But beliefs are being changed. I was coming through a checkout line in one of the stores, whether it was Myers or one of the grocery stores. And I remember, you know how they have all those magazines and papers up? And I was looking at one and I read it. And lo and behold, one of them on the front, big letters and a picture of a Boeing, what was it? What is a bomber? B-29? I think it was a B-29 bomber from World War II. And the headline said, B-29 bomber discovered on the moon. And I thought, man, I got to read about this. How did this happen? And then as you're reading the article, that wasn't all that was said. It says, and the crew survived. And so, man, I dug right into that, you know. And if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. Think of all the stuff we're flooded with, and people buy stuff like that. Amen? Because they want to see how the B-29 bomber got on the moon, I guess. I don't know. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is truth, John 17, 17. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You have the same verse in Luke and also in Mark. That's important to us because God's word is truth, and we can go somewhere and find out what the truth is about this life, about the next life, about eternity, because people have a question about that. What's going to happen when I close my eyes down here? Will I open them in heaven? And God tells us all about that. When you think of being politically correct, the Bible is not politically correct, but the Bible is correct. Amen. It's the truth. Creation. We believe the Bible, what the Bible says about creation. I quoted the verse in Hebrews, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So he created everything. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so God created man. He created man. It's not evolution. God created man. In John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The verses are so clear. And I'm kind of laying a foundation. My foundation, my opening remarks are rather long, and my main message is rather short. So we'll get to the message pretty soon. Amen? Please smile at me out there. It's okay. We have Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth. All things. Salvation, we believe what the Bible says about salvation. The Bible says in 1 John 5, beginning in verse 11, and this is the record, the Bible, that God hath given to us his Son, and he that hath a Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So we have the written word of God, and it tells us about salvation. I'm sure you're familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. Everybody knows that verse. Everybody. And it is a true verse. You can't have 5 years of eternal life. Amen. If you have eternal life, it just goes on and on and on. These are fundamental truths. And the Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So we build on the word of God. We build on the Savior, the truth that we have here. The Bible is truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. Eternal life is a gift. You have to receive it by faith. If somebody gives you a gift, you don't have to pay for it. It's a gift, and that's why God chose that language in the Bible. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We receive that gift. We have 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Ephesians chapter 2. I mean, you can go on and on and on. Romans chapter 5. Three times in that chapter, it talks about the free gift of salvation. It doesn't cost a thing to us. It cost him his life. But all we have to do is receive that. And one day, there's going to be a marvelous transformation. It's a blessing to have Judy with us today. She is struggling with her health. There are people that aren't here today because of that. We have aches and pains. We're getting older. Doesn't look like it. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Come on, we have visitors that take part in this. Yeah. But it doesn't look like it. It looks like we're just a bunch of kids. Amen? I gave you a second chance and you messed that one up too. But one day, God is going to change this for us. The Bible says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. One day the believer is going to be no more pain, no more sorrow. He's going to be changed, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Now, how does this happen that we believe all of this? How does this happen that we get to know God in a personal way, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection? So how do we do that? I mean, religion tells us all about it, but how do we make that connection where we love God? There is a first cause. The Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us. There's an understanding of what God has done for us that draws us to him because it's so wonderful, and that we fall in love with him. Unto you which believe, he is precious. But you've got to believe before he's precious. But then when you see what he did for you, and we'll go through that just briefly. But how does this happen? Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Those are our key words today. An everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God draws us. We're drawn with the cords of love, the Bible says in Hosea. But John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He's speaking of the cross. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's the gift. We receive salvation. Now we love him because we see what he's done for us. You have John 12:32 and 33. Jesus is speaking. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that's what we read in Jeremiah. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Speaking of the cross. When we understand the price Jesus paid for our souls, for our eternal happiness, we love that. We love him. Amen. We attach that emotion to Almighty God. Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a wonderful, wonderful truth. You don't have to get better and better here to be accepted of God. All you have to do is come to him as a sinner, and he will forgive all of your sins. I think that's a wonderful thing. What verse am I thinking of, Richard? Let's see. I think back in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. That's a reasonable thing. Just come as a sinner, and the Bible says he will receive you, wash you from your sins, and give you a home in heaven. That's a blessing. That is a real blessing. Let me give you a few verses here about who God is. 1 John 4:8, God is love. I like that. Psalm 18:35, thy gentleness hath made me great. Romans 2, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Titus 3, the kindness and love of God our Savior have appeared to all men. Psalm 116:12, and this proves if we've seen the love of God. Because the love of God just doesn't speak to somebody and then there's nothing after that. It's the love of God that draws us to God. We are drawn to that love. We have Psalm 116:12-13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This is what the Bible says. It says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I look at what he's done. I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. We come to a New Testament verse, Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why do people call on the name of the Lord? Why do they accept Christ as their Savior? Why do they receive this free gift? Because they understand the love and the cost and the transforming grace of God that God is going to do for them. It's a blessing. I want to take a walk through the book of Luke today. And it might be a quick stroll. There's a lot of stories. I love Bible stories. And in the book of Luke, we have what we call parables. Those are earthly stories that Jesus is telling that picture a spiritual or a heavenly truth. And so he tries to take that spiritual truth and put work clothes on it and put it down where people can understand it. Also in the book of Luke, you have some true stories. So we're going to go through some of those. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I want to read a number of verses, and then this will be the last scripture that we will read. And we'll just comment on the other stories. Luke chapter 7, we will begin reading in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, Christ, that he would eat with them, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Let me just stop there. Jesus knew exactly who she was, because he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're thinking right now. But he knew that this woman was a sinner. The Pharisee is a very religious person who judged other people, but he didn't know Christ. And the Bible says, And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And there was a certain creditor, it's kind of a parable, and had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, both of them, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. The one that had more to pay was forgiven of more things, more deeds. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. It's so interesting when you realize the forgiveness of sin is available and all you have to do is receive it. There's just a wonderful attraction to that. And the songs and the hymns talk about that all the time, how we're attracted to that cross. And the cross is lifted up and we are drawn to that because Christ has done so much for us. This woman was a sinner, but God had mercy on her. We go to Luke chapter 8, and we're not going to read anymore, but it's the story of the maniac of Gadara. That's what they called him. This was a crazy man. He's full of devils, and in a little town, he would live in the tombs, and the people of the town would bind him with chains, and he'd break the chains. And everybody was afraid of him, and he just caused all kinds of trouble. And Jesus came to the coast, and Jesus went out to see him, and he talked to him. And this man accepted the Lord as his Savior. And the Bible says, after that, he was clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And all he wanted to do was follow the Christ. That's all he wanted to do. But the Lord sent him home to his family. And he says, go tell your family what great things the Lord has done for you. God had mercy on him. Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is speaking to a lawyer. And he says, you're to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. And the second commandment is like that. And you're to love your neighbors yourself. And so this lawyer, he says, who's my neighbor? And Jesus told him a parable. He said there was a certain man that he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. They robbed him. They beat him. They stripped him. And they left him for dead by the side of the road. By chance, a priest came by on the other side, looked at him, and kept on going. Speaks of religion. Then a Levite came by, looked at him, kept on going. Speaks of the law. But the Good Samaritan, that speaks of the Lord, went to where he was, poured in oil and wine, fixed his wounds, put clothes on him, put him on his own beast, took him to an inn, and paid his way. And he said, now when I come back, if he has spent any more, I will pay you. And then Jesus said, which one was his neighbor? He that showed mercy. There's mercy again. It's a great thing, mercy. Mercy is a wonderful, wonderful truth because it's everlasting. It goes on and on and on because our God is everlasting. If God is love, he will always be love. If God is kindness, he will always be kindness. If God is just, he will always be just. Amen? If God is true, he will always be true. If God is merciful and he delights in mercy, he will always be merciful. Man, I just love these stories. Luke chapter 15, story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son, a certain man had two sons, parable. And one said, Father, I want my living, I want my inheritance, I'm off to the far country. And so the one that stayed worked and did everything, but this one boy took his inheritance and squandered it on riotous living. And the Bible says that there was a famine in the land and he didn't have anything left. He had spent it all, wasted it all on riotous living. And so this boy is there and he's saying, well, I'll get a job slopping hogs. And he did. He ate the slop with the hogs, did he? It's Luke chapter 15. That's the story. And all of a sudden, the Bible says he came to himself. And he said, man, Mike, I got a good father. And man, if I go back, there's bread in his house. There's food. There's shelter. There's everything I don't have here. I will arise and go to my father and I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That was his plan. It's a far journey that he took. So it's a lot of days coming back and he's planning this speech, this prayer. He comes home. He's getting sight of his house. Out comes his father. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Amen. And so here he is coming back to the father. And the father runs out to meet him. And so he goes through his speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And before he could say, make me one of thy hired servants, his father hugged him by the neck. And he said, everything's fine. I love you. Bring the best robe. Bring shoes for his feet. Bring a ring for his finger. Kill the fatted calf. Let's make merry. Let's have a party. This my son who is dead is alive again. This he was lost and now he's found. I think that's mercy. Amen. You know, you should have never left and you shouldn't have done this and that. And that's what his brother, which was a picture of the law, was doing. I'm thankful God's a merciful God. I don't know how many times I've departed a little bit or maybe even a lot. God's always there to welcome me back. Isn't that a blessing? Boy, it's a blessing. That's Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 18, the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Two men, I've just got two more. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the one a publican. And the Pharisee looks at this publican and he's not doing too good. And the Pharisee says, I thank God I'm not like this guy. I fast, I give alms, I do this, I pray, and I'm not like him. And the publican bowed his head and would not so lift much as lift up his eyes to heaven. But he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Those were some of the last words my father ever spoke. My father left us when we were just children and went out to California. Never heard from him. But I was able to be there 5 days before he died and showed him the scriptures. And these were the verses that I used. And this is what he prayed. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Great day. Amen. Well, how could God do that if you've lived all your life like this and at the last minute we're getting to that one? That's probably the best one. But anyway, this publican, it says that the Pharisee did not go home justified, but the publican did. And it says all he asked for was, be merciful to me, a sinner. The last story is Luke 23. There's a lot more I'd like to tell. But in Luke 23, this is great. This is about the thief on the cross. Two men are crucified, Jesus in the middle, one on each side. They had both railed on him. They had both criticized him. If you're the Son of God, come down now from the cross. Get us down. But the one recognized that he was the Son of God. And he said to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was his prayer. And Jesus turned and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. That's mercy. Two thieves on the cross. One said, Lord, remember me. The other mocked. And so mercy is shown on anybody that wants mercy. These stories are pictures of God's love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his reconciliation, restoration. And they're all eternal. These are eternal stories. I am so glad. It's such a wonderful thing as a Christian to be able to share the love of God with people. And that is pure love. The truth of God with people. And that is the truth. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing when you see a life transformed because of that. John 10. The scripture cannot be broken. Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. They that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And it all boils down, eternity, it all boils down to this. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his, what's that word? Mercy, he saved us. Not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. It all comes down to that. Our eternity depends on what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a song, and one of the verses goes like this. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Eternity, eternity. We get maybe 70, maybe 80, maybe a little more than that. There's nobody here probably over 50, 60. Doesn't look like it. But, I mean, this life, only life, one life will soon be passed, only what done for Christ will last, and all of these little things we say, but eternity is real. Eternity is real. And to spend eternity with God in heaven, where there's no pain, no sickness, no heartache, no sorrow, all we need do is receive the gift of Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And if you call on the name of Jesus, he'll forgive you of your sin because he promised it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're talking about forever. It's such a blessing. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, you wish to have all of your sins washed away, you want to have a home in heaven, I want you to say this prayer silently. God hears the prayer of your heart. You don't have to say anything out loud. And it's not the exact words. It's just meaning what you say. But say something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. By the way, we all are. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for going to the cross and paying my penalty. Thank you for your mercy. Please forgive me and give me a home in heaven. I love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Head still bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer, would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Amen. God bless you. Father, thank you for your precious word now. And I pray that we would love you more every day. Thank you for what you've provided for us. Thank you for your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. And if you just remain in an attitude of prayer, bow your heads. The instruments are going to play. And just talk to God for a moment, and then we'll be dismissed. Amen. That's a good song. If you know it, I've entered the haven of rest. Well, we have time for fellowship and food, which is a blessing. Amen. Please stay, and we'll just line up. God bless our food. So our prayer has been made. Amen. And enjoy the fellowship together. God bless our servers there. Amen. And so we're so thankful, Eric. It's a real blessing. Real, real blessing. You will enjoy this. Amen. Okay, you are dismissed. God bless you.